We're going to read this morning from the book of Matthew, Matthew chapter 13, and verses 24 to 30, and then 36 to 43. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced a crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said, 'Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' The servant said to him, 'Do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, 'No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, first gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn.'" And then verse 36. "Then Jesus sent the multitudes away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, 'Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field.' He answered and said to them, 'He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world, and the good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear.'" So reads the word of God this morning. Let's turn to those verses that we read in Matthew chapter 13, verses 24 to 30 and 36 to 43 this morning. I've given my talk the title, "Working Towards the Harvest." Working towards the harvest. One of the reasons we need to keep focused in our service for Christ is because we are working towards the final harvest. Our God promised Bethlehem. He promised the birth of Christ. He promised Calvary and the death of Christ. He promised the resurrection. He promised the ascension. He promised the day of Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit. And he has fulfilled all of these promises. But one of the great promises still to be fulfilled is the final gathering of his people to be with him in his kingdom, and the final removal of all that spoils his creation. And he who has fulfilled all these other promises can be trusted to fulfill that final promise. And so, I've given my talk the title, Working Towards the Harvest. And I want us to be encouraged to keep focused on that in our Christian service. I grew up in a farming community. And in the farming community, everything was geared towards harvest. In the autumn time, there was the ploughing of the fields, so that over winter, when the rain and the frost came, that soil would be broken down, and then it would be tilled, and eventually the seed sowed with a view to the harvest. And then, after the seed was sown and it began to germinate and grow, it would be treated, because the farmer wanted the very best harvest. And just as in the agricultural community, everything is geared towards harvest, in our Christian community, everything should be done with the final harvest in mind. I am grateful that as I read the New King James Version of the Bible in preparing for this talk, that the heading before verse 24 says, the parable of the wheat and the tares. I was disappointed then to find the heading above verse 36, the parable of the tares explained. Where'd the wheat gone? These two sections belong together. And although it's true that the tares, in other words, the weeds, feature prominently in the story, it's the gathering of the wheat into the barn that is the climax of the parable. We are working towards harvest. And so the parable began with the sowing of the good seed. And so the farmer sows good seed in his field, and it ends up with the harvest of the good seed in verse 30, and then again in verse 43. And in his explanation of the parable, Jesus points out these things. But don't miss what Jesus tells us about himself here. He often referred to himself as the Son of Man. In the prophecy of Daniel, Daniel prophesied the coming of the Son of Man. And as we read Daniel's prophecy about the Son of Man, we find that the Son of Man is one who would be given authority. He would be surrounded with glory. He would have sovereign power. He would have everlasting dominion. He would be worshipped by all peoples, nations, and languages. And who is the Son of Man? It is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And here, in this parable, he tells us that he is the sower. He is the sower. Interestingly, in the explanation of this parable, Jesus tells us that the good seed are the sons of the kingdom. If we wind back to the earlier parable of the sower, in that parable, the seed is the word of God. But here, it is the people of God. People who know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, people who will be the salt of the earth, people who will be lights in the darkness, people who will reflect the Lord Jesus Christ in what they think and say and do, people who will display the fruit of his Spirit. I was just trying to think as we were singing that last hymn about what Christopher Wordsworth calls the sevenfold graces of the Holy Spirit. Now, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithful. That's eight, I think. So Christopher Wordsworth can't count. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I can't count either. It's nine. And so the Lord, as he plants his seed, he places on the earth those who know and love him to be the salt of the earth, to be the light of the world, to reflect the graces of his Spirit. People who, knowing the harvest is coming, will reach out with the good news of Jesus Christ, calling on others to recognize the barrier that sin creates, separating man from God, calling on them to recognize that the Lord Jesus Christ alone has demolished that barrier and bridged the gap between man and God. And that by dying on the cross, making a sacrifice for the sins of his people, he has provided a way by which we can be reconciled to God and enjoy him forever. Are we good seed in the world today? Are we trusting and following and demonstrating the love of God? But we also discover that there are weeds among the wheat. In the story that Jesus told, the weed that is referred to is probably bearded darnel. And if you want to find an interesting weed, look it up. In its early stages of growth, bearded darnel looks just like wheat to the untrained eye. But not only is it a weed, it is a host to a fungus, which, if eaten, is poisonous both to people and animals. So it's a nasty weed. As we go forward following the Lord Jesus Christ, looking to the Bible as our guide, we will find many who appear to be following the same way. But sadly, further down the road, we may find that they're not on the same track at all. There are weeds amongst the wheat. The Apostle Paul tells us about some such people in his letter to the Christians in Galatia. He points out that the biblical gospel clearly shows that it's not possible for anyone to make themselves right with God by obedience to the laws of the Old Testament, for the simple reason that that would require perfect obedience, and no one is capable of that. I'm not going to ask you to put your hand up if you've lived a perfect life. That would be, well, embarrassing if anybody put their hand up. But none of us have. It's impossible. But the wonderful thing is that Paul was able to not only point that out, but also in another of his letters go on to say, but now a righteousness from God apart from the law has been made known. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. In other words, to those who repent of their sin and receive Jesus as our Saviour and our Lord. Now, Paul was horrified when he wrote to the Galatians to discover that some of the people who once appeared to be genuine Christians were now teaching that to be a proper Christian, you not only had faith in Jesus, but you had to take on board all the regulations of Old Testament Judaism. And sadly, this sort of thing continues today. You may find people who profess to believe in God and respect the Bible, who teach that in addition to believing in Christ, you will only be accepted if you follow a number of religious regulations and rules. The most unusual one that I ever heard of was when my son was travelling on a train, and he was sitting alone on the train, and somebody approached him and asked him if he was a Christian. And my son said, yes, he was a Christian. And this person said to him, have you witnessed to 26 people today? And my son had to confess that he hadn't, to which he got the reply, then you can't be a proper Christian. Now, I don't understand why 26 was the precise number that you had to witness to in one day, but that was what my son was told. And, you know, you get these people teaching these things all over the world today, either taking from or adding to or distorting what the scriptures teach. Others deny what the teachings of the Bible says in all sorts of areas of morals and theology and so on. Now, we may, of course, try to encourage such people to look more closely at what the Bible teaches and encourage them to embrace it. And we may have the joy of seeing them do just that. But equally, we may find no response. We may find total rejection of what we say. And indeed, sadly, further down the road, we may find that those very people not only oppose us, but possibly even persecute us. At first, they looked like New Testament Christians. But eventually, we have to recognize that they are on a different track. But how come they are like that? In the parable that Jesus told, the farmer said to his workmen, an enemy has done this. An enemy has done this. Now, as I think back to the farming community in which I grew up, I couldn't think of anybody sinking so low as to go and sow wild oats in somebody's field. And I couldn't believe that until I actually read of somebody who did it. I read about a tenant farmer who did something very similar. Despite the landlord who was evicting him from his farm, the tenant farmer scattered wild oats over all the fields he was leaving behind. And again, because I'm still very much in touch with an agricultural community, I know of farms where livestock and equipment have been stolen. I know a farm where machinery was vandalized and tires slashed. Can you believe that goes on? And you know it costs an awful lot of money to replace those great big tires on the back of a tractor today. These things are not uncommon. If you just type in a Google search on vandalism in the agricultural community, it'll bring you up a list of what's going on. And in the spiritual world, as the Lord Jesus Christ indicated in this story, the devil is actively sowing seeds of doubt and unbelief. He's bringing people under pressure. He's blinding people to the gospel. And we find his influence in legislation. We find it in the media. We find it in education. We find it in the workplace. We find it all over. And sadly, sometimes we find those who once appeared to be believers with a deep respect for the Bible and the Word of God following this teaching. Now, at times we may feel really down about it. I do sometimes. Sometimes we may feel a sense of despair. But then I remember that the Lord Jesus Christ warned us about these things. So they're not taking him by surprise. And he warned us about these things so that we might be prepared for when they happen. But he also wanted us to rest assured that he's in control. He knows what's happening. And nothing will thwart his plans. And nothing will prevent his final harvest. We should not be surprised or overwhelmed. Instead, we should remain faithful to him. Salt in the earth, light in the world, displaying the fruit of the Spirit, sharing his gospel. And maybe, through our witness, others will come to trust and follow the Lord Jesus Christ and be a part of that great gathering that will come at the end of time. I remember a dear Christian couple with whom Janet and I shared accommodation when I was a student. They were despairing. Their daughter had joined a way out group, moved away from home, and they just didn't know what to do. She joined this way out group and suddenly they were talking about faith. And this girl said, it's so strange, it's so foreign, that it made her hunger and thirst for what her mum and dad had told her and taught her. And she returned and she came to faith in Christ. And now she's a vicar's wife. So don't despair. Just keep loving, keep witnessing, keep reflecting the Lord Jesus and praying that he will bring these people out of darkness into his marvellous light. In his grace he may do just that. Then do notice in this parable that the wheat and the weeds are to grow together until the harvest. In the story Jesus told, the servants of the owner, seeing the weeds, asked if the owner wanted them to be weeded out straight away. My wife would weed them out straight away. But the owner said no. And he said no in verses 28 and 29. He said no, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. If the weeds are uprooted, the wheat might be uprooted as well. By allowing the weeds to stay, the wheat would at that stage remain undisturbed. It would not be trampled on. It would have a better chance to develop and ripen. Then, as harvest arrived, it would be clear which plants were bearded darnel and which were wheat. And then, before the weeds had an opportunity to shed their seeds and infect the ground, the servants, the reapers, could go and collect the weeds and burn them. And as we move towards the great final harvest, as in the parable, believers and non-believers will live side by side. Sadly, although I have never heard of any Christian who would suggest removing evil people from the world, I have heard of evil people pursuing ethnic cleansing and even wanting to remove Christians from the world. But the Lord's plan is that we live side by side. We should not underplay the impact that Christians can have in society. I have mentioned earlier Christians being the salt of the earth, being the light of the world. I have mentioned before reflecting the fruit of the Spirit in the world around us. And may the Lord continue to use us that we might be an influence for good and that others might be brought out of darkness into his marvellous light. But living side by side with those who do not know and love the Saviour can help us too. It can make us more grateful people. On one occasion, I was visiting a Christian home and I saw one of these cards that people have on their walls or perhaps on a little frame on top of the piano or something. And this lady had the words, "Why me? Why me?" What was she asking? She was asking, why was I brought out of darkness into the marvellous light of the Saviour? Are we like that? Grateful people. Deeply thankful as we reflect on God's amazing grace to us. Again, that can spur us on to reach out to those who yet do not know and love our Saviour. But also, living side by side with these people, and especially facing their questions, and even perhaps their mocking and disapproval, can help us mature as Christians. They can strengthen our faith, especially as we go and think about what they've said and bring an answer. I remember on occasions people have asked me a real snorter of a question, and I said to them I can't answer that at this moment in time, but I will go and I will search an answer for you and I will give you that answer. And it can help us grow in our maturity as Christians, and also can cause us to depend more and more on the Lord. And so the seed, the wheat and the weeds will grow side by side. And then as the time of harvest approaches, it will become more and more clear who are believers and who are resisting the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And so finally, this morning, the harvest will come. The end of the age will come. This world as we know it will come to an end. And at that point, the Son of Man will send his angels to gather out of his kingdom all that offends, all that causes sin, all who lead others into sin, all who do evil. And then we read those awesome words, and we'll cast them into the furnace of fire, and there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. But then, says Jesus, Then the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of his Father. Here again we have a reflection of the prophecy of Daniel. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 3. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament, and those who turn many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. Or as John says in his letter, Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. We know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. There's an old hymn that says, What a gathering of the ransomed it will be. And there's just one way in which we can be there and enjoy that amazing privilege, and that is by responding to God's amazing grace and receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour and Lord. And how did Jesus finish this? He says, He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Amen.